This week, I wanted to look specifically at the topic of My God and I. That title comes from a wonderful song, as a lot of us know. And I thought I'd start out by just not singing the first part. <Come on. laughs> Just reading you the first stanza of that song. I'm going to get Paul to sing the... No.
I'll hum.
The first stanza says, My God and I go in the field together. We walk and talk as good friends should and do. We clasp our hands, our voices ring with laughter. My God and I walk through the meadow's hue. It's a wonderful, wonderful image, mind picture of a person walking with their God. You know, maybe hand in hand or just talking and fellowshipping in a very, very free and open way. And that's what I wanted to look at. Because many times, you know, God's seems to be something outside of people's lives. He's sometimes thought to be a distant God, or, you know, or sometimes we think, you know, I'm going to have my normal time, then I'll have my God time, or however we look, I'm going to be holy for this period of time, and then other times I'll just go on and do my normal, you know, he sometimes is outside of our normal life. And this mind picture of my God and I walking through the fields together and talking and laughing together and you know, fully sharing the way a father and son would is really the way God designed, you know, his relationship with us to be. And Psalm 17, we'll start there. God is not an addition to our lives. He is our life. Psalm 17, this is David and his wonderful mind picture here as well. Psalm 17. It says in verse 13, Arise, O Lord. Arise, O Lord, disappoint him, cast him down, deliver my soul from the wicked, which is thy sword. From men which are thy hand, O Lord, from men of the world, which have their portion in this life. Mm. Yeah, Psalm 4, he goes, the people in this world, they have their portion in this life. That's it. And they live for this life and the things of this life. And whose belly thou fillest with thy hid treasure, they are full of children and leave the rest of their substance to their babes. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. See, as opposed to all the other things in this life that can fill a person's life and their desires and their wants and all the things that you can go through in life. And there's a lot of them, right? David writes here, he says, I am satisfied, God, with you. What a great mind picture. He's satisfied with the Lord God. That was what he lived for. That was what he, you know, and David, was he perfect? We know he was not. We know that. But in his heart was satisfied with God. How many people in this world can say that they are satisfied with God? And for them, God is enough. That's it. Satisfied with thy likeness. Psalm 23, which you all know, but I would read it. Psalm 23. And here, you know, a psalm that everybody quotes all the time. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. David writing again here, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And all these things he's talking about here, why wouldn't God be enough? He blesses him. He takes care of him. He leads him beside the waters. He restores his soul. Verse 4, Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. He protects him. Right. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a wonderful, wonderful image you have of a man being satisfied with his God. He's my shepherd, my God. I will trust in him. He takes care of me. You know, you see that mind picture of the guy walking, my God and I walk through the fields together. Here, God provides everything. Is there anything in there that beyond what he says that he needs in this life? No, nothing. No. In Psalm 42, close to the Psalm of Grace that you guys read, a couple over, Psalm 42. You know, my picture of that Psalm 23 is one of constant fellowship with him. Not what I call fellowship, constant fellowship as opposed to a fellowship of convenience. Mm-hmm. You know, when I have time, I'm going to spend some time with God. Well, God is everywhere. God is with you all the time. Why wouldn't you spend all your time with him regardless of what you are doing? Is what I asked myself, bro. Why wouldn't you think that way? Constant fellowship. My God and I, we go to the grocery store together. We go to work together. You know, we go to bed together. I was up last night, 2 o'clock in the morning, because our son, for some reason, hadn't told us he was staying overnight at his friend's house. That's not why I was awake. Well, you know, you get up in the middle, for whatever reason you wake up. You know, I wasn't sleeping. I was like, okay, what would I do now? I could count sheep. I'm not going to count sheep, all right? I don't count sheep. Well, I started praying. You just start praying, pray, and you spend time with your Father. You wake up in prayer, and you wake up in the morning, you pray, and you go to bed, and you thank God. And why wouldn't we spend our time, our entire fellowship with him? Right? He's our Father. He's our God. In Psalm 42, verse 1. As the heart, all of it, you know, he's talking about, he was satisfied with his likeness. Here it says, as the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Mm. You know, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? You know, as a deer, they need water to live, right? That's it. It was basically the sustenance for that deer is the water. He says, my sustenance for my life, God, is you. You know, I look after you. I look for you as much as this deer who would need water would need to live. Psalm 63. There's so much in the Psalms along these lines. We'll just look at a few of these. Psalm 63, verse 1. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee, in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. If you're in a dry and thirsty land where there's no water, desert or wherever, you know, where there's no water, or famine or whatever's going on, you would do anything to get water, right? Mm-hmm. David says, I would do anything to fellowship with you, right? That's how much he thirsteth for God. Mm-hmm. I would do anything to spend time and fellowship with you, God, and be with you. Early will I seek thee, he says. A lot of times, what's the first thing a lot of people seek in the morning, you know? I go to work. I don't want to get up. You know? And here he says, early will I seek thee. His God is there. Verse 2, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary, because thy loving kindness is better than life. Mm-hmm. My lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. Morning, and then says, verse 6, when I remember thee upon my bed, and meditate on thee in the night watches. Some other place says he looked forward to the night watches because he could meditate in God's word. So early in the morning I'm going to seek you. When I'm thirsty I'm going to seek you. In the middle of the night I'm going to, you know, you see the pattern is fellowship. My God and I, we walk through the fields together. You know, we laugh and we talk and we fellowship. You know, why wouldn't we want that? Unless we're doing things that we don't want God to know about. Well, I think God would know me, wouldn't he? So you might as well talk to him. Even if you're doing something that you know he doesn't want you to do, why don't you talk to him anyway? Interesting. Psalm, Exodus 33. You know, this is about Moses. That was about David. Look what it says about Moses. Exodus 33. And in verse 11, I know we can read about Moses. There's a lot about Moses in the Bible, as you know. This is one verse. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. What a wonderful, wonderful expression. There's a mind picture of a person walking with his God. As a person, you know, if you read about the life of Moses, man, there are times when Moses talks to God and God listens to Moses and does what Moses asks him to do. It's hard to believe, isn't it? Mm-hmm. You know, but that's what it says. Deuteronomy 34. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. That's fellowship. That's closeness. Can you imagine even thinking about talking to God and saying, well, God, I know you want to do this, but would you rather do this instead? Most people would not even have the confidence, the assurance that they could have that close a relationship with their father. Moses did that more than one occasion. Deuteronomy 34:10. And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. And you know, in fact, Jesus Christ is compared unto Moses. He said, God's going to raise a prophet like unto me. This was the man Moses talked to God face to face. What a wonderful relationship. We can talk about Abraham. The Bible talks about Abraham being a friend of God. You know, we walk and talk as good friends shouldn't do. You know, and did Abraham ever have any interesting conversations with God? Oh my goodness. You know, and God listened to him. You would think today, you people think of, well, God, don't squash me for the foolish things I do, and how, you know, I'm so sorry, and I'm a worm, and I'm a sinner, and I'm broken, and all this nonsense that is not biblical. You know, God takes care of his people. He loves his people. We are complete in Christ. We're looking at people who fellowship with him before Jesus Christ came, before he accomplished everything for man. And look at the close fellowship they had with God. How about us? We have Christ in us. Oh, my goodness. John 14. We might as well look at us. Now you can read about Ezra and Nehemiah, and they talk about the good hand of my God upon me, wherever they went. And Nehemiah is a great, wonderful book to look at about a man fellowshipping with God constantly. And Ezra as well. He wasn't some distant God. The wonderful sections in Nehemiah where in the middle of a conversation with the king, he prays to God and God gives him information. And you talk about close fellowship. Why wouldn't we constantly be in touch with our Father? In John 14, verse 23, it says, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. God in Christ in us. Our abode. God makes his home within us. That's close fellowship, isn't it? 1 John chapter 1 says the same thing. 1 John. Let's go there. First John chapter 1, verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Fellowship with God, fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Very, very close fellowship, constantly. Makes his abode within us. And why would we ever do anything without fellowshipping with him, talking to him, and being in constant contact with him? In 2 Timothy chapter 4, talking about Paul. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Sons and daughters of the living God. a God who wants to fellowship with his people. 2 Timothy, and this is, you know, you can look at a lot of cases in the Bible where people who walked with God were destitute or alone at the end of their lives. Jesus Christ is a good example. I mean, who was left at the cross when he was being crucified? Some of the women. Even his apostles had gone away. Noah pretty much was the only one standing at one point. Right? I mean, his wife and his kids and family got in by proxy. I think it was Noah who stood. 120 years, called the preacher of righteousness. Nobody believed him. You know, yet who was with him? God. 2 Timothy 4, verse 6. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. He's about to die. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Do thou diligence to come on shortly unto me. For Demas hath forsaken me. This guy was gone, having loved this present world. Just like those guys in Psalms, you know, they have their portion in this life. This man had walked away and was more interested in the things of life. And he's departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens, to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me and for the ministry. Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works, of whom be thou aware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me. Paul, when he was taken to the courts, he said, nobody stood with him. Sad, isn't it? Is at one point under his ministry, it says all Asia Minor heard the word, right? All Asia Minor heard the word of the Lord under Paul's ministry. And when he was in the courts being tried, nobody stood with him when he first gave an answer to the accusations laid against him. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. He goes, I don't hold it against them. And he says, I don't want God you to hold it against them either. Wow. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. Why wouldn't you want a fellowship constantly? You can't trust the things of this world. You know, the Bible exhorts us constantly. Don't trust the things of man. Remember the Old Testament, and the prophets come by and say, are you going to put your trust in this, we call the Pharaoh, the bruised reed of Egypt? Mm-hmm. When you lean on him, it pierces your hand. You know, why trust the things of men? Why have confidence in princes? Why have confidence in the government? Is that what we trust? Do we trust people, the government, the establishment, or do we trust the Lord? Paul says, no one stood with me, but the Lord stood with me. Right? And he says, and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. That's a really great statement on behalf of Paul, isn't it? Was he alone? No. The Lord was with him. Look at Luke chapter 2. How about Jesus Christ? Well, I think that answer is pretty straightforward. Luke chapter 2. This is early in his life, when he was 12 years old. Luke 2:24. Let's go to... I'm in the wrong place. I want to go to 40... And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. This is Jesus Christ's parents, Jesus' parents and his family. And when they had fulfilled their day, the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company of the larger family group, went a day's journey, and they sought him among the kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou dealt with us thus? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that you sought me? Wist ye not, or don't you know, that I must be about my father's business? His concern was his father's business. His God, his father's business, his father God. I'm about my father. You know, in this case here, this might seem like it was hurtful to his mother and his father, because he didn't tell him that he's going to stay. I mean, you know, one night is one thing, but, you know, how about 3 days? Right? They sought him sorrowing. And yet, his concern was his father and his fellowship with him. He says later, I don't do anything. Right? Without him, I can do nothing. That's the Lord. Jesus Christ said, without my father, I can do nothing. How about us? Sometimes we try to do everything without him. And God, you know, here he says, I can't do anything without him. When he was at the house, the cave of Lazarus, he goes, I know you hear me, God. I know you hear me. I'm just going to say it for the sake of the people. I know you always hear me. That's my God, and I walk through the fields together. We walk and talk. We clasp our hands. We laugh. We fellowship. What a great mind picture. In Acts 17. Again, close to where you read from Grace.
We collaborated.
Yeah, we're collaborating today. What was the first and great commandment Jesus Christ told when they asked him? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. Essentially, paraphrased, with everything. With everything that you are. And that's constant fellowship with God. In Acts 17, Paul at Athens, Mars Hill, in Acts 17:24, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Because it says in John, he dwells within us. Neither is worshipped with men's hands. All the symbology and things, as though he needs anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one nation, blood, all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed, and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him, and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As certain also of your poets have said, for we are also his offspring. It says, for in him we live and move and have our being. He is not some distant God. He's not distant. Lives within us. In him we live and move and have our being. You know, life outside, I think about this a lot of times, you know, when you hear about things happening. Life outside of God, there is no meaning to life outside of God. It's fleeting. It's very much trying. It's temporal. It's empty, you know. So I got to thinking about fellowship with God, you know, someone that's that close to me. How do I treat someone that is that close to me? How do I daily treat my Father God? Because it says he lives within me. And I have fellowship with him and the Lord Jesus Christ. How do I treat that fellowship? What do I think about it? How much do I value that fellowship with God by way of Jesus Christ? You know, if you're close to a friend or your spouse or whatever, you know, when you're away, you miss each other, right? You know, you think about, you know, being back together again. Well, how about my day with God? If I have the choice in the morning to pray or to eat or whatever, do I thirst after him as someone in a dry and thirsty land? Or would I rather have my coffee and you know what? When I get to God later in the day, we'll have great fellowship. You know, again, I ask myself the question. How much do I value my fellowship with him? Because you value something, you do something about it. You know, if you have a car you love or something, you might shine it or wash it all the time or whatever. Temple example. How do I value my fellowship with God? What do you do to develop? What do we do to walk the way that man, that poem, you know, I walk through the fields, my God and I, we hold hands, we laugh, we talk, we fellowship. Well, how about God's Word? How much emphasis do I put on God's Word? The only thing that, you know, really where we start from knowing anything about God is from His Word. We can look out there and see all His beauty and things He's done. But in the end, it's the Word of God. How much time do I spend fellowshipping with my Father by way of His Word? You know, if I want to develop the ability, you know, we know about the 9 manifestations, speaking in tongues, interpretation, prophecy, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, faith, miracles, healing. If I want to develop my ability in all those areas, what am I doing about it every day? And if I want to learn to play an instrument or a sport, you know, I'm going to schedule 3 sessions a week, an hour here, an hour there, and I'm going to go see a coach here, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to get better at this thing, whatever this thing is. What if I want to get better at my ability to hear from God? What if I want to get better at having greater fellowship with Him? Am I going to schedule time, regular time, in order to develop that? Because I guarantee you, if I don't, it just doesn't happen. Nothing happens in life that way. A lot of times when it comes to the things of God, people just think it's just going to happen. Well, it won't. It only happens if I put the time and effort. You know, building a human relationship, we put time and effort in. If I want to build a relationship with God, that I walk through the fields with Him and talk with Him and fellowship with Him, and He talks to me, and you know, this loving fellowship, then I'm going to put the time in, and it's going to take effort. It doesn't just happen. How much do I value that fellowship? Ephesians chapter 3. A couple more verses here. Ephesians chapter 3. Again, talking about the amazing closeness that we have. And we just looked at David and, you know, Moses and Abraham and those men. And here we are in the New Testament, where Christ has done what was required to complete our deliverance and salvation and redemption. And God made His home within our body, dwells within us. Ephesians 3:14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, the 4-dimensional love that He has for you, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. There's a mind picture that did not exist in the Old Testament. They were not filled with all the fullness of God, because Jesus Christ had not come yet and made that available. And yet, look at the fellowship they had with God. Well, how much greater fellowship can we have with Him? We'll close in Psalm 27. We started in Psalms, and we'll close in Psalms. Or Psalm 27. Verse 4. Actually, yeah. Verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. Again, this is David. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. There's that mind picture again. I'll read you the last stanza of My God and I, that poem. In closing, my God and I will go for aye together. We'll walk and talk just as good friends do. This earth will pass, and with it common trifles. But God and I will go unendingly. And that's the relationship that we're talking about here. Day by day by day, but one that is going to go on unendingly. So just how important, how valuable is that fellowship and that relationship that we have with our Father God? Is it one where we joyfully walk through the fields together and, you know, look forward to the eternity where we will continue this relationship forever? So, it's a little bit, my God and I.
Which was the